1 Peter 1:8, what does this tell us about spreading a passion? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Who's writing this letter? Peter, of course. And Peter had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen him during his earthly life. He had seen his love. He had seen his anger. He saw his compassion on many. He saw his condemnation of others. And Peter had seen Jesus dead, hanging on the cross. And most of all, he saw him risen and alive. He saw the risen Christ physically. He saw him face to face. I'm sure he, like the Apostle John, as John describes in 1 John, handled him, had his arms around the shoulders of the risen Christ, squeezed him, felt the resurrected flesh. Peter's readers, then and now, had not seen Jesus in that way. And we will not see him in that way during this present age. Yet, I trust, we love him. We believe in him. And while it was surely a blessing to see Jesus in the flesh 2,000 years ago, remember what the risen Jesus says to the Apostle Thomas. Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So there's a special blessing for people like us, people who have not seen Jesus in the flesh and yet believe in him. What does that blessing look like? Well, I think this passage in 1 Peter tells us. It tells us that this blessing has two aspects. First of all, there is a future aspect, a future blessing. 1 Peter 1:4, we have an inheritance. It's coming, it's future, but it is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Verse 5, we have a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Not yet revealed, but it will be revealed at the last time. And then verse 7, speaking of our faith, he says, your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the coming revelation of Jesus Christ. And then down in verse 13, he says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's a great future blessing which is coming. An inheritance, a salvation, a revelation that will occur when Jesus comes back. When he comes back suddenly, physically, with power and great glory. So that's the blessing which is kept for us, stored for us, safe. No one can break in and steal it away. Nothing will eat away at it or corrupt it. And so we rightly hope and trust in that future blessing of Jesus' return. We do not see him now, but we will see him risen, glorious, returning, reigning. We will see him in all his glory. So there's that future aspect of the blessing for those who do not now see him. But there's also a blessing now, in the present time. Even, as Peter says in verse 6, when we've been grieved with various trials, we still have this blessing right now. What is that? The blessing is that now, before Jesus returns, before we ever see him physically, we rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Or, New English translation, we rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. In what sense is this joy indescribable or inexpressible or beyond words? Well, I want you to think about your own experience of worshiping God. Worshiping God publicly, perhaps, or worshiping God privately when you're alone or with your family. Haven't you been in such a setting and you know beyond doubt that God has redeemed you in Jesus Christ? You know beyond doubt that he loves you with an everlasting love. You know beyond doubt that as unworthy as you are, and though you face serious trials, and though you may have great pain and be going through tremendous suffering, he has enveloped you in his arms. And he's never going to let you go. And so you praise him, you sing to him, you rejoice in him. But you can't express it all. Music helps. But still, there's so much more left unsaid. Your heart is overflowing, and words cannot say all you would like to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Furthermore, that joy is not limited to that experience in public worship or private prayer. That joy becomes deep-rooted. That joy pervades your entire being. And so that as you meditate on his word, as you think about his truth, as you remember his character, his promises, his plan, when you think about the way he has ordered the history of the world and brought everything to this point, the end of the age, where even in this generation, all the peoples might hear of him and praise him, you have a settled peace, an underlying joy. Whatever you may be experiencing on the surface, whatever conflict there might be, whatever pressures you might face. That's the joy that Peter is talking about. Both that joy in worship, where there's an emotional aspect to that joy, and that deep-seated, persevering, enduring joy that is deep inside you as you know you belong to him. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus, your Lord. So that joy is inexpressible, indescribable. And that joy is not only beyond words. There's that second way that Paul describes the joy. In the ESV, filled with glory. New English translation, it's the glorious joy. Literally, it's a perfect passive participle of the verb. So if you say that in English, it's having been glorified joy, which sounds kind of strange. And so the English translators have tried to come up with other ways to say it, but it is defining that word joy, which isn't so obvious in the ESV translation. What is it? What does it mean to say that it's a having been glorified joy? This joy is a response to God's glory manifested outside of us in God's creation, in God's acts in the world, in God's word. And a response to that glory manifested inside of us, inside of you, inside of me. As He transforms you and me, as He conforms you and me to the image of His Son. As the Apostle Paul says, we are seeing the revelation of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, though we do not see the risen, reigning Christ, we know Him. And thus we delight in the glory of God. The glory of God manifest in the world around us, the glory of God manifest inside of us, changing us. So you see now how 1 Peter 1:8 relates to John Piper's well-known statement, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. We see His glory outside of us and inside of us. We rejoice with this joy inexpressible because of that glory. And the depth of that joy, the degree of that satisfaction in Him glorifies God all the more. You see, that joy unspeakable shows that He is worth more than all that the world has to offer. And then there's another step to this too. Since the purpose of the church, indeed the purpose of all creation, is to bring glory to God, our deep joy is a primary way that we fulfill that purpose. A primary way that we fulfill the purpose for which God created us. And this joy is so deep it becomes a passion. A desire to know Him better and better and better. A longing for that day when we will see Him face to face. The type of longing that the Apostle Paul expresses in Philippians 3. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to know Christ. That's a passion for God. That's passion for the supremacy of God in all things. Knowing that your delight in Him is far, far greater than the joy you could have from anything else in this world apart from Him. The joy that you could have in anything else in this world, whether family or career or athletics or success, without Him. Furthermore, when you have that passion, that joy that words cannot speak, when you catch some glimpse of His glory and what your role might be in glorifying Him, how can you not say with Charles Wesley the words we sang a few minutes ago, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, to spread through all the earth abroad the glories of His name." So we exist not only to rejoice in Him, but because that joy becomes a passion, we exist to spread that passion, to spread the indescribable joy. For, as Jim read for us from Psalm 67, all the nations must be glad and sing for joy. All the peoples must praise God from the heart. All must delight in Him and in His glory. And thus, the mission statement. We exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things for the joy of all peoples. The mission statement does not say we exist to have a passion for the supremacy of God in all things. We must have it. Peter says we do have it. And that's a great blessing. But having that passion, having that joy, having that glory, we must spread it. We must share it. For all the nations must enter into that great joy. So, we exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the unspeakable and glorious joy of all peoples. Well then, the exhortation I think is obvious. I'll say it anyway. God gives us this inexpressible joy, this joy all wrapped up in His glory, so that we might spread it. We exist as Desiring God Community Church. We exist as Treasuring Christ Church to spread that joy. By all means, let us deepen our own joy in Christ. And by all means, may we help others in our respective churches to deepen their joy in Christ. By all means, let us come together and express that joy in Christ in worship, whether that's in larger groups or in small groups or in families. But we must spread that joy. And if we don't spread that joy here in Charlotte, among the peoples of this city and around the world, or among the thousands of yet unreached people groups, if we don't spread, we have lost the reason for our existence. Indeed, we're showing that we don't really have that joy unspeakable, that joy all wrapped up in God's glory, if we are not spreading it. Because you know, when you experience something that you are tremendously joyful about, you can't but tell others about it, right? So a week ago yesterday, my youngest son Joel got married. It was a wonderful time. And whenever I see someone this week, I want to talk about the wedding and what happened at the wedding. And, you know, I have a feeling that Joel feels that way, right? That this week, he has not been able to do anything except talk about his wife and his joy in her. So that joy unspeakable and full of glory has to then lead to our spreading of that joy. You know, both of these churches could be successful and grow to thousands of members and be seen as influential, and it could all be pointless. It could all just be the result of human organizational ability and effort. It could all just be a striving after wind if we're not spreading, if we're not deepening, if we're not expressing true joy in Jesus Christ. So, since this is the purpose of our existence, both as individuals and as churches, let us do it. Let us equip one another to spread that passion and that joy so that we are competent and confident to spread it. Let us encourage one another to spread that passion, that joy. Let us hold each other accountable for spreading that passion, that joy. And let us speak of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to many, to many, to many. What if God would be pleased to bring 100 people to faith in the next 12 months through each of our churches? Why not pray for that? Why not pray for that? God has to be the one who will bring people to faith. We can't do it. We know that. But we can equip one another to bear witness effectively to the gospel. We can encourage one another to bear witness to the gospel. We can hold each other accountable to do that. And we can share widely with many people, deeply with a few people. And we can love one another and love those around us, bearing further witness to the truth of the gospel. And we can pray, we can pray, we can pray that God would bring hundreds of people to Himself. What a foundation for decades of fruitful service in a church. It would begin with 100 people coming to faith in the first year through the witness of those in that church. What a foundation for the next 14 years of Desiring God Community Church, if in the 15th year of Desiring God Community Church, 100 people came to faith through our witness, through our sharing, through our loving people effectively with Christ's love. As we share, we will find that God will work slowly in the hearts of some. Sometimes it will take decades of faithful witness before God finally breaks down the barriers and shines the light of the gospel into that person's heart. We've heard stories of that, right? Of 20 years of faithful witness, 30 years of faithful witness, that finally, after such a long period of time, we've seen that person come to faith. And in other cases, God has prepared that heart. They hear the gospel and they respond. Other cases, they resist, they're hard-hearted, they come to a crisis in their life, and they respond. As we read from Luke chapter 10, our Lord assures us the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Or as the risen Christ told the Apostle Paul, when there were as yet only a handful of people in Corinth who were believers in him, the risen Jesus said, "I have many in this city who are my people." And I tell you, my friends, he has many in Charlotte who are his people who do not yet know that they are his people. We can get discouraged after a few closed doors and harsh rejoinders. We can convince ourselves that the harvest is not plentiful. After some mock us and sneer at us and say we're bigots and self-righteous, we can give up and think that God will not bring many in this city to himself. But Jesus says, pray, pray, pray. Pray, yes, for God's work amongst the peoples, amongst the unsaved. Pray for God to bring these hundreds of people to faith. Pray for God to send out workers internationally to those unreached people groups around the world. And pray for laborers here in Charlotte. Indeed, pray that every member of Desiring God Community Church would be such a laborer. Every member of Treasuring Christ Church would be such a laborer in God's harvest. And as that indescribable and glorious joy overflows in witness to the gospel to those around us, in planned ministries and in random encounters, in organized outreach and in interactions with neighbors and family members, on the sports fields and in our offices, among those nations that God has brought to Charlotte, and with those of our own culture, may he be pleased to use us to spread that passion for his supremacy in all things. And may God be pleased by August next year to bring 100 people to faith through the witness of each of these two churches. Our God is powerful enough to bring that about and to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. Will we be faithful to pray, to speak, to share? Finally, a few brief and inadequate words about Fred. We've served together for 11 years. We've prayed together for countless hours. Oftentimes with others, many times just the two of us. Fred, you've critiqued my sermons and my ministry, and I'm the better for it. You've encouraged me in tough times and rejoiced with me in good times. You have modeled for me the love, care, compassion, and desire to serve eagerly, as Peter says later in this same book, not under compulsion, willingly, not for shameful gain. You've modeled that way that a pastor should serve. You've effectively opened up the Word of God with careful study and passionate delivery. You've modeled for all of us what a faithful husband and a loving father looks like. You indeed, Fred, have that joy unspeakable and full of glory that Peter writes about. And that's one thing that led me to that text for today. You do indeed long to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples. And so, Fred, you've been a great gift from God to Desiring God Community Church and to me. And we as a church will miss you, and I personally will miss you. But God has prepared you from before you came to Desiring God Church and during these years to step out in leadership of Treasuring Christ Church. And we are excited to see how God will use you as you continue to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things through Treasuring Christ Church. And so, Fred, we commend you to God and the word of his grace. And we trust that you will continue to grow in his word, and other leaders at Treasuring Christ Church will play that role that you have played for me in critiquing you and encouraging you and standing with you and praying with you. And of course, we're not far away. We will look forward to sharing in ministry to this city and in seeing each other in our respective churches before long. So, Fred, Treasuring Christ Church, Desiring God Community Church, the harvest is plentiful, and all the peoples must praise him. The nations must be glad and sing with an indescribable and glorious joy. So expect that God will do great things through Treasuring Christ Church and Desiring God Church. Great things for him. Things that may not redound to our glory, and that's better, but things that will redound to his glory. Step out in faith. Step out in prayer. And spread that joy in him. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. He has done that great miracle in our lives. Won't he also continue to do those miracles in the lives of people around us? If God could save you and me, he can save anyone. And so believe that. In your encounters with other people, he is at work. He is fulfilling his great plan. And so may we fulfill the purpose of our existence. May our indescribable joy overflow. And may we spread that passion to the glory of his great name. Let's pray together.